This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from a remote location, surrounded by books as I am, here in what would, for most people, would be a laundry room, but I turned it into one of my mini libraries. I have a couple of libraries in my house, since I have about 4,000 books. So as you can imagine, I don't have to worry about finding something to read. But today, I'm so honored that I'm going to have some guest hosts who are going to recommend books that you should be reading. And so they will be on, and we'll have a little rotation. At the end of the hour, it's going to be Kim Dower, a poet, and she's going to be talking about the books that influence her and also about poetry. And then Bria Burton is going to be on at the bottom of the hour, and she's going to be talking about the books that mean so much to her. But first, in a little while, we're going to be talking to two of my favorite authors. But before I do that, I want to tell everyone, first of all, if you've been dreaming about writing, this is a time. One of the most wonderful books that I read recently is called Android Love, and it's written by Glenn Erickson. And Glenn Erickson is a business guy, but in the back of his mind all of his life, he wanted to write, and then at one point he started writing, and he's written, like four or five wonderful sci-fi books. He's gotten lost in them, and that's exactly why it's so much fun to write, and that's the joy on paper. And his most recent one is called Android Love, and it's a really fun read, a very touching characters, and a very thoughtful book, because it really makes you want to think about the future, and that's what we're all doing right now. So one, I would like to recommend that, and then, of course, another I want to tell all of you, if you are writing and you're just starting off, you really should have a lawyer. I know, and I can tell you this from experience. And so I am so honored that every month Bill Larson of Larson & Larson comes on to Joy on Paper, and he talks about all of the things that you need to know about trademarks, copyrights, and mostly protecting yourself. And in this day and age, it also includes what you can and cannot say on social media, what you should or should not post, and also about people who are trying to rip off authors by sending them all sorts of scam products, including many of them who offer to send your book to Hollywood producers. So there are many things, and I really appreciate Bill Larson coming on every month. I call him our legal eagle here at Joy on Paper. And it's a real honor to have him, because his law firm, Larson & Larson, is a premier law firm here in America. They all win awards, and Bill is an expert in copyright law. So if you need a lawyer, you should really think about getting Bill Larson. You can contact him at LarsonPatentLaw.com. His firm is a famous patent attorneys. They are my patent attorneys, by the way. So I have four patents. So during this downtime, I'm sure all of you have a lot of things to think about. And one of the things, of course, is reading, just to keep your mind busy. And of course, if you have been dreaming about writing, this is the time. You know, 8 pages a day is really not very difficult. My wonderful, wonderful goddaughter, who I got from starting Joy on Paper, I met her when I was doing a speech, and that's Kenesha. And Kenesha has done NaNoWriMo 3 times and written an entire novel during the month of November. So now I hope we don't have a month that we all have to stay inside or outside if we're in the fresh air, but you have the opportunity here. to sort of hunker down and say, okay, I'm going to write this book. And please don't write any books about the pandemic, because I don't want to have in 9 months, 10 books a week about the pandemic. I want different books. Believe me, we're going to need fun books. But it could be a book about your family. It could be a cookbook with stories about your family. There are so many possibilities. And, of course, if you are, you have the opportunity here on the Internet, you can do research. And if you've traveled, put all your travels in there. And that's why I want to recommend right now. So many people were planning trips to Europe, and you could, you just have to cancel everything. But you can still travel to Europe. You can travel to Europe in your mind. That's what I did when I was a kid. I read so much. I was always traveling somewhere. In my mind, I was always in another country. I was in another place, and I was having fun, and I was learning so much. For me, from the time I was 8 to 11, I read everything about Jane Austen, fell in love with her writing. And when I was 21 years old, I went and bought a 400-year-old cottage in England, because I wanted to be near where she was born. And that's why I want to recommend a wonderful series that you can really get lost in. And that's by Tasha Alexander. She's written historical mysteries, always with lots of travel around Europe. She takes you to every capital and all the interesting places in Europe. And they are the Lady Emily series, and you will just find yourself in another world, which is actually where we all want to be at this point. So I highly recommend those books, and I think having lived in England, I had the opportunity to get to know so many wonderful British people who went through the war, and to hear their stories firsthand. And in the little village I lived, was right on the Thames. And many of the villagers were the ones who took their little boats, that really, when you look at their boats today, they took them across the channel and went to Dunkirk. These were amazingly brave people. People who, wow, it just even today, when I think about it, it gives me chills. And the thing is, they were inspired in many ways. And one of the ways that they were inspired to keep strong and to stay brave was by the songs of Vera Lynn. And I want to play one of her songs. It was my parents' favorite song, and I love it. And then after that, Tasha Alexander herself and her gorgeous husband, Andrew Grant, will join us here on Joy on Paper to talk about the books that they recommend for this time. So take it away, Ed. Let's play a little Vera Lynn.
There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow, just you wait and see. There'll be love and laughter and peace ever after tomorrow, when the world is free. The shepherd will tend his sheep, the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep.
Okay, as Patsy said, filling in for her today, let's go out to Tasha Alexander and Andrew Grant.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be part of the show today. Yeah, and it's very strange for all of us, I think, staying home, dealing with this world emergency.
It is the strangest thing, isn't it? I mean, we are kind of fortunate because we're used to being at home because this is where we work. But I know from talking to so many people that it's having a huge impact on so many lives. So I think the most important thing to say is just that we hope that everybody is managing to stay home and stay safe.
Exactly. That is the most important thing right now. And I think as we all collectively and separately at the same time try to deal with this, you know, it's very anxiety-inducing for a lot of people. And I know that for me, turning to books in a time when I'm stressed is one of the surefire ways to help me feel better.
And I think it's funny that Patsy mentioned the travel in the Lady Emily books, because that was actually the first thing on my mind, too, because as she was saying, getting to travel in your mind, at least even if you can't in body, is a really good way of trying to separate ourselves from this current stressful situation. So, Tasha, with Lady Emily, you've had her in London and in Paris and in Vienna and the Normandy countryside. You had her in Istanbul, since you can't go back to Constantinople. So out of all these wonderful places that you've taken us and Emily, have you got a favorite? If the ban was lifted for one day and you could go to one of those places, is there one you would pick?
Well, that is an impossible question. It's like asking someone to pick a favorite child, I think. But I think I would have to say, if I had to say, I would go with Venice, because it's such a magical place and just so outrageously beautiful, defying everything that reality should be putting on it. I mean, you've got people who built their city in the water, essentially, by pounding down tree trunks into the silt at the bottom of a lagoon, and knowing that weight was an issue because obviously they don't want the city to sink, but despite that, they put marble gutters on the buildings because it's more beautiful.
I love that. The whole idea of style over substance is wonderful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Venice is just one of those places where when you wake up in the morning and look out of the window, you know that you are somewhere special. There are some cities where you have to kind of pinch yourself and say, okay, so it's Thursday, so I must be in wherever. Whereas Venice, there's no mistaking it, is there?
Absolutely. And there's just no place on earth like it. It's so special and so unique.
It is. So when it comes to time for Emily's next adventure, how do you go about deciding where you want her to go? Is it purely the place? Is it the history associated with the place? Is there a method? How do you do it?
Well, I would like to think there's a method to my madness, but it really varies from book to book. Sometimes it's that I've read about an interesting person in a particular place at a particular time. Sometimes there's a specific event, and sometimes it is just the place itself. And that was certainly the case for me with Constantinople, where Emily could go to.
She could.
Although we couldn't. But I wanted, you know, a lot of the series deals with issues that women face throughout history, and we're all familiar with the repression of Victorian women in Britain. And so I had thought, well, let's get her to the Ottoman Empire, because I bet that'll be, you know, an even more restrictive society. And in fact, what I learned by doing the research was that it was far less restrictive for women than Victorian Britain was.
Interesting. So the distance that you gain through history is sometimes just as, if not more important than the distance you can gain geographically.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Now, you know, another thing that I like with comfort reading in times of stress is really good wit. And that is something that you have in abundance. And I would highly recommend your Janitor series to anyone who would like not only to escape to a world where someone is trying to get some real justice, but also this the dry wit of Paul McGrath is just brilliant.
Well, you totally ambushed me with that one, and I'm sitting here blushing now, but thank you very much for saying that. And, you know, that's been a very fun series to write. And, you know, without exaggerating too much, in a sense, it's almost set in a kind of parallel situation because, you know, in these current times, even with leaving the virus and everything aside, you know, one of the things I wanted to do with the Janitor series was imagine a world where if you were the little guy and you were in trouble, you were being squeezed, the system was out to get you, that actually there was someone who would swoop in and administer the swift hand of justice, and even if it's only in the pages of the book, at least, you know, set things right and do the right thing.
That's, I think, something we all would like to have.
So, you know, maybe even more so in these times. Who knows? But I think another thing, I mean, so far, I mean, I'm hoping that this will change, but so far there's only two books in that series. And one thing that I think is very fun about discovering a series is if you find one that's really long, so that especially if you're at home and you want to escape and you want to dive into a series of books, the more of them there are, obviously the longer it'll take and hopefully the more rewarding it will be. So are there any really long series that you can think of that you have enjoyed reading over the years?
Absolutely, and I love nothing better than being able to have the entire series at my disposal from the beginning so that you don't have to wait a year to get the next installment. I would say my go-to longtime favorite is Elizabeth Peters' magnificent Amelia Peabody books. Amelia is an elderly Victorian spinster at the age of about 27 or 30 when the books first start. But she goes. She inherits some money after her father dies and decides to travel, goes to Egypt, meets an intrepid and dashing archaeologist, as one does when one goes to Egypt, and marries him. And the books take place, I mean, I can't think how many of them there are. There must be at least 20. We get to be in Victorian England. We get to be in Egypt on digs. And the characters that populate those Amelia books are just, they feel like close friends. And I think that's one of the things about a long series. You feel with each new installment that you're sitting back down to have a cup of tea with some of your favorite people.
Absolutely, and you know that applies equally whether you are sitting with a big stack in front of you because it's a series that's been running for a while, or if you're sitting desperately impatient waiting for the next installment of a current ongoing series. And I think that idea that it is like visiting with an old friend and finding out what kind of adventures they've been up to, what kind of mischief they've got themselves into since last time is one of the most delicious things.
Absolutely. Another thing I think that might appeal to people is something that maybe isn't a hugely long series, because maybe you want something that's more like a trilogy or a shorter grouping of works. You've talked a lot to me about Len Dayton.
Yes, I absolutely love Len Dayton. And again, I think there's a sense in which he's sort of super relevant again, because a lot of Len Dayton's books were written over the kind of Cold War spying period. And I remember, you know, even back when we were growing up, there was that sense of kind of foreboding and there being some sort of unseen threat or menace that was out there, that it was intangible, but you couldn't quite escape it. And so Len wrote, he wrote lots of different books. He was a keen historian. He was actually a keen chef as well, and did some stuff about food. But one of the, well, I think, you know, the thing people most identify with Len Dayton is his Bernard Sampson series. And what he did there was he wrote three trilogies, so nine books, and then a tenth book, which kind of took a bleak look at the other nine and kind of retold some of the stories, but from a different perspective, which was really, really fun, because you'd come to really invest in Bernard and you kind of knew his take on things and, you know, things that he stated as fact. And then this gave you a really fun way of finding out, well, you know, perhaps some of those times when Bernard said, well, you know, I accidentally shot this guy maybe not quite so accidental. And what I loved about that series was Bernard was working for MI6, the foreign intelligence branch of the British military intelligence service, and he particularly specialized in Germany, so obviously at the time East Germany, due to the wall still being standing, the anti-fascist bulwark, as it was officially known. And so there was all kinds of shenanigans getting back and forth across the wall, and all of this incredibly dangerous stuff and all kinds of spycraft going on. But then also, Bernard was a family man. He was married. His wife was actually also working for MI6. So then he would be having these hair-raising adventures getting over the Berlin Wall one day. Next day, he'd be back home in London, trying to figure out where to get what to do because there was no food in the cupboard to feed the kids, and now his wife was off on a mission. So there was this brilliant juxtaposition of this sort of super dangerous high-stakes spying and then the kind of domestic stuff. And you could read that and just think to yourself, you know, yeah, here am I sitting in my house wondering how, you know, where is the food to feed the kids, and then kind of drift into this imaginary world where, you know, you could be heading for East Berlin the next day. So I just love those books, and they're absolutely fantastic.
I love the idea of the work-life balance struggle of a spy.
Exactly. A little bit different too. You know, when I worked in telecommunications, they were constantly nagging us about work-life balance. So, you know, Len Dayton had an entirely different take on that.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. Oh, I want to just throw out two more suggestions for authors who really let you travel. One is Kara Black with her wonderful, wonderful Amy LeDuc series that takes place through all the different endroits in Paris. And the other, to come back to the United States, is Nevada Barr, who has a series about a woman called Anna Pigeon who works as a park ranger in the national parks throughout the country. And those are a wonderful way to escape into the beautiful scenery and expanse of our country.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. And I would also throw in our friend CJ Box, because obviously we're slightly biased being in Wyoming ourselves, but CJ's books really transport you into the great, wonderful, expansive wilderness of Wyoming, and particularly right now when space is a bit of a premium. I think that's a wonderful thing. But I believe that we are actually out of time now.
I think you're right.
I think it's time to say thanks so much for listening. And Patsy, thank you so much for having us as your guests on the show today.
Yes, Patsy, thank you. We always love getting to be with you, even if it's virtual. And I hope everybody is continuing to stay safe during this and that you find something great to read.
Okay, moving on here, filling in for Patsy. Let's go out to Bria Burton. Hi, Bria.
Hi there. Good morning, everyone. I'm Bria, as Ed introduced, and I am a local author in the Tampa Bay area. I am thrilled to be back on Joy on Paper for this special segment, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself and my own books, and then I'm going to go ahead and share some recommendations that I hope will help you enjoy this time at home. I am also at home right now. My husband is inside with our son, so I am outside. I'm really hopeful that no airplanes are going to fly by to make it hard for you guys to hear me. So if you're also home like we are, I'm sure you're hopefully enjoying this beautiful Tampa Bay weather, taking walks when you can and that kind of thing, and maybe doing some house cleaning like many of us are doing this time. But also, one of the things we're here to talk about is how you can spend time reading, not only you, but your kids, your spouse. And it's really a great opportunity that we have here, even in the midst of a pandemic, that we can potentially read more. So I'll go ahead and talk briefly about writing, writing itself, if you are a writer or interested in writing, and also ways to get you started if you're interested. So a little bit about me. I'm an award-winning author who has been writing fiction since I was very young, primarily speculative fiction, and that includes fantasy, science fiction, horror. I'm a member of the Florida Writers Association. Over 20 of my short stories have been published in magazines, podcasts, anthologies. My indie publications include three different books. So that would be books that I have self-published myself. Lance and Ringo Tales is a family-friendly collection of pet stories that the whole family can enjoy. Little Angel Helper is an award-winning inspirational novella for adults that features a character with special needs. And The Running Girls is an inspirational novelette about two seniors in high school who attempt to complete a 500-mile summer challenge. So those are my indie publications that would be great to read even now as you're home. So if you're interested in reading any of my books or short stories, my website is www.briaburton.com. That's B-R-I-A-B-U-R-T-O-N. And you can find the links to read stories. Some of my stories are actually free. So if you go to my website, there are quite a few short stories that you can click on the link, and it's free to read either on an online magazine or a podcast, that kind of thing. And there are also purchase links from Amazon and other retailers for the independent publications that I just mentioned, and then some of my stories that would be featured in magazines and anthologies you can also purchase to read. The last thing I wanted to mention about me is that I'm a member of an author collaboration called the Alvarium Experiment, and we have published four short story anthologies, many of which include award-winning stories. So the names of the anthologies are The Prometheus Saga. We have Volume 1 and Volume 2. Very briefly, The Prometheus Saga is each story had to be collaborated to this central character. And our central character is a probe that was sent from an alien, unknown aliens who sent a probe to observe humanity throughout history. So I've actually been a guest on Patsy's show before, Joy on Paper, and some of the Alvarium Experiment authors who are part of the Prometheus Sagas, Volume 1 and Volume 2, have come to talk on the show before about our stories. So you may have heard us talking about these before, and if you haven't had a chance to read the stories, this is a great time. So both Volume 1 and Volume 2 are available on Amazon, and you can find links at my website. And then Return to Earth is another anthology that we did as a collaboration where the premise was that what if it's humans instead of aliens that are returning to Earth? So that the idea of first encounter, what if it's humans? What would that mean? So that's what all the stories tried to answer that question. And then the final anthology that we have so far is called The Masters Reimagined, and that was classic twists on classic literature, and everybody selected a classic literature story and did a speculative element and retelling of classic literature. So that was a lot of fun. And we are currently, the Alvarium Experiment still going strong, we are currently going to be doing Volume 2 of The Masters Reimagined using classic art. So that'll be potentially coming out this year. We are readjusting our publishing schedule accordingly with things that are going on, but keep your eyes peeled at my website and through the Alvarium Experiment on Facebook for what's coming next for the next Masters Reimagined sequel. So the links, again, to purchase any of those stories of mine, part where I'm part of an anthology or just my own individual stories, are on my website. So you may be checking that out right now. So while you're doing that, I'm going to briefly tell you that if you're a writer or if you want to be a writer, now is a great time to start and start making it a habit. So if you're home and wondering what to do, because maybe you've cleaned the house five times and you're tired of that, maybe start writing. So the thing about writing is it's like anything else that requires time and discipline. I'm going to use running as an analogy because I happen to be a runner. And the reason I call myself a runner is because I go out and I run on a regular basis. Same thing with writing. If you want to be a writer, write. Do it as often as you can. And if you have a passion for it, you'll want to make it a priority. So one thing that I do suggest is you tell people, tell your family and friends that you have this goal to be consistent with writing, and they will hopefully take you seriously, especially if you show them you're serious by sitting down and doing the writing. So I also recommend learning the craft. So that is a big part of being a writer, is learning how to improve what you have. Currently, you could be any level of writer, and we can all continue to improve. It doesn't matter if you're a bestseller or if you're just starting. Everybody, I think, can agree we can all keep learning. So there are classes, there are online workshops and writing groups. So if you're interested in again, being serious about your writing, I suggest go ahead and learn more about the craft. There are such things as free writing classes and places where you can essentially pay very little even for writing classes. So look for those, especially in your area. I'm in the Tampa Bay area, so I'll just mention the groups that I'm aware of, like Keep St. Pete Lit, Wordier Than Thou, Pinellas Writers, and the group where I'm a member, which is the Florida Writers Association. There's birds chirping in the background, so I hope that's not too loud. Maybe it's just adding to the mood of everybody's home and trying to enjoy it. So anyway, getting involved with a writing group, and especially a critique group, can help you improve your craft and take the next step. Okay, so let's talk books. Let's talk about reading. No one is quite sure how long we're going to be asked to stay home and keep up the social distancing. So again, let's take some opportunity here and read, encourage reading. And I'd like to mention my favorite book, which is To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. It's often assigned in school, so your kids might already be reading it. But if not, consider reading it as a family. To Kill a Mockingbird is set during the Great Depression and narrated by 8-year-old Scout. And there are powerful themes about justice and compassion. I'll briefly mention some classic literature that might interest you. First, the best-selling book of all time happens to be the Holy Bible. And if you've never spent time in the Old and New Testaments and you've wondered what the Bible actually says, now's a great time to dive in. And if you're not sure how to get started, because it is a very large book, I recommend a version called Reading God's Word, which is a chronological daily Bible edited by George H. Guthrie. Next on my list are two of my favorites, classic literature, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass by Lewis Carroll. They are delightful and great escape reads. Jane Austen is another one of my favorites, and I would recommend any of her books. I've read all of them. So Pride and Prejudice, Persuasion, Sense and Sensibility, Emma, Mansfield Park, Northanger Abbey, they're all fantastic and great also for escape. But if you really want something to dig your teeth into, something a little heavier from the classics, The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas is quite a novel to tackle, especially if you read the unabridged version, which I highly recommend. So that's something you can go for. But jumping out of classics into more modern day, some of the books that I've really enjoyed in recent times would be like The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, Chronicles of Narnia, the Harry Potter books. These are all great fantasy series that are bestsellers that everybody pretty much knows the names of those books. But if you haven't ever read them, highly recommend going for it. And then I have quite a few friends who are writers, and I just want to mention some of the books that they suggested. I'm just going to start listing some, no particular order. Hunted by N.M. Brown, middle grade fantasy. Carrying Albert Home by Homer Hickam, historical fiction. The Lucky One by Nicholas Sparks, and anything by Nicholas Sparks, this friend says. Discworld series by Terry Pratchett. We Have Always Lived in the Castle by Shirley Jackson. The Hero and the Crown and The Blue Sword, both by Robin McKinley. This author friend says, read it in that order. Fortune's Pawn series by Rachel Bach, science fiction romance. Eligible by Curtis Sittenfield, which is a retelling of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. The Shades of Magic series by V.E. Schwab, adult fantasy. And I think I'm getting really low on time, so I can't go through this whole list. But I'm going to mention a writer friend, B.C. Krigowski, wrote a nonfiction book called Spending Habits for Professionals Who Want to Fire. And this is nonfiction where some of us might be a little concerned with the financial situation right now. That is a great book to jump into that's nonfiction. I know I've been mentioning fiction primarily. And I'm not sure if Ed is going to interrupt me at some point, but I will just keep talking until he does. Another writer friend has a series called Defiant Universe Trilogies by C.M. Herndon, and those are bestsellers in science fiction romance. And then another writer friend, M.K. Williams, has The Infinite Infinite, which is science fiction. L. Andrews Pat has a book called Ghost, which is horror. I have to just warn you, I'm a little nervous about certain horror, so I just will tell you that I haven't read her book yet. I'm going to go for it because she's my friend, but I'm not sure the level of scariness, if you will, but I'll go ahead and mention that. And then another friend who, this is not her book, but she suggested, since people are looking for ways to tidy up right now, here's a couple nonfiction books like The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo and The Cozy Minimalist by McQuillan Smith. Those would just be a couple ideas if you're not interested in fiction but looking to tidy up your house in the midst of what we're in right now. Okay, so I'm gonna go back to the list. Let's see, we were talking about the Shades of Magic series. Okay, The League Fantasy Romance series by Sherilyn Kenyon, Hidden Legacy series and The Innkeeper series by Alana Andrews, which is fantasy romance, and Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer, which is science fiction. I think it has a little bit of horror in that one. Come Closer by Sarah Gran, which is horror. Dracula, a classic horror by Bram Stoker. Okay, so that was the majority of the list that I had had. And so if you're, again, you're writing or you're reading, whatever you're doing, I hope that you're able to decompress in this time, able to just enjoy what we've got right now. And even though it's not ideal and nobody wants to be in the middle of a pandemic, I think we can all agree that, we can also focus on the positive. We can look for the good and try to find ways to enjoy ourselves in this time and enjoy our families as we do this together. And the great thing about online is you can read books online. You don't have to go pick up a book somewhere. You can look it up online and get an ebook or an audio book, and we can still do the stay-at-home thing while reading, while writing, and having time with our families. Maybe even we can read aloud to each other. Why not? I mean, I'm picturing back in the day people by the fires reading their stories aloud or reading classic works aloud. Just an idea to throw out there to try reading together. So I believe I'm running out of time because I'm past the 10 minutes now, but I'm going to keep talking because I don't hear Ed yet.
Everything's good. You good? Another minute?
I have another minute. Okay. So sorry. I wasn't sure. So I'll just mention some other author friends that I personally know that you can look up their books. Ken Pelham, P-E-L-H-A-M, excellent author with some mystery, and Charles A. Cornell, he writes dieselpunk and a little bit of nonfiction too. Her pen name, C.L. Roman, writes fantasy, and I just really enjoy a lot of her books. She writes science fiction as well. These are some of the Alvarium Experiment authors. And Kristen Durfee, she is one of the Alvarium Experiment authors who writes, I apologize that I haven't read her books, but I believe they are more in the mystery genre. Jade Corian, she writes science fiction and romance. I think her romance is under a pen name, but she also writes science fiction. Again, these are authors that we can support and read their work. And, this is another side note to add before we go. Write reviews while you're doing all this wonderful reading. Go ahead and review the author, because that will help that author, especially in this time. The more reviews authors get, the more that is helpful to them and their careers. So that will be my last little piece of advice here. Go ahead and leave these author reviews. And take this time and do what you can. We all just can do what we can to listen, obviously listen to the good advice that we're given, and to do all the reading that you can, and share what you're reading with other people, and let them know, hey, I found this great book, and pass it along. And we can continue to just keep reading and writing going. And it's one of the great things about being human, I think, is that we have this wonderful opportunity for outlet. So thank you all. I really appreciate that I got to jump on here and chat with you. And I know somebody else is coming on next, which I'm sure Ed will introduce them to let you know who's coming. And Joy on Paper is such a wonderful program. And I hope if this is your first time tuning in that you'll keep coming back, because Patsy is absolutely delightful. You will love listening to her as she interviews different people in the writing community, from agents to writers to publishers and all the gambit. So I'm really, really excited to have been part of this. So thank you all, and keep reading. And if you're not sure what to write about, that is one question I have had as a writer. How do you come up with your ideas? Well, even sitting outside like I am right now, I'm looking around and you can see the birds flying by, little squirrels are running along, and you can tend to get ideas just from moving, just from getting moving location, like maybe going from inside to outside and changing perspective. That's one of the great things about writing, is you can give different perspectives. You can take a perspective that's different from your own and write about it. So that's one way to do it. Going for a walk is another great way, and just looking around and kind of opening your eyes to what is going on in the world around us. And some people might be writing about the pandemic, which is fine. You know, some people like me, I don't necessarily want to write about this going on. I want to kind of like do something more escapist. That's, again, why I write speculative fiction with the fantasy, the science fiction. It's a way to escape the current reality and kind of enjoy what if or a what could be. But there are probably those who will write some great stories that come out of this experience that we worldwide are going through at different levels and different stages in many ways together. So that will be very interesting to see how that all pans out. So if you're sitting there wondering what to write, if writing about the pandemic interests you, don't let me stop you. Go ahead and do it. Not everybody's going to want to do it. So that is an idea. just keep at it. Just keep the faith and keep positive as much as you can, and encourage those around you, because I think that'll go a long way to helping each other.
Okay.
So sorry, I had to take a quick sip. So thank you all.
All right, Bria, thanks so much for joining us on Joy of Paper today.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, that is Bria Burton, and joining us next, filling in for Patsy today on Joy on Paper, is Kim Dower. Hi, Kim.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm good.
Good. I'm glad. Well, I'm glad that Patsy invited me on the show, and it's such a wonderful show, as we all know, who love books. So I believe that Patsy wanted me to talk about poetry, since I'm a poet. And I think the power of poetry right now for all of us is it's something that we can dive into that doesn't take that long to read. In other words, one poem takes a minute or two, and for many of us, I know for me lately in these past weeks, concentration is difficult because we're distracted and we're worried and we're fearful. But one poem can take us through a whole day. We read it, we think about it, and then one poem can lead to reading other poems, if that makes sense. So I have, my latest book is called Sunbathing on Tyrone Power's Grave, and Patsy had wanted me to read a poem from the book. I've chosen a poem called In the Moment. And for everybody listening, you can write down on a piece of paper, In the Moment, and that can be a prompt for you when we get off the phone, because I know that Patsy has an audience filled with writers, and everyone's thinking about what to write these days. So here's a prompt for you, In the Moment. And my poem is, I just parallel parked exactly right for the first time ever. Maybe because I wasn't imagining a tsunami killing me on Sunday in Laguna, or thinking about my mother alone at home, or when I dropped the puppy off the patio. She was fine. I never recovered. But today, windows down, no radio, just sky, steering wheel, and my hands were one. and backing into the space, feeling my tires hug the curb with a clean slide into home. That rare fit of perfection was upon me, and let me say right now, I didn't waste it. So there's a poem basically about nothing but parking. And I think that all of us today have things to say. So use the prompt in the moment and write what you're feeling or what you see, because there's a lot right now that we're all feeling. And one thing I wanted to talk about, Patsy asked me to talk about books to recommend. I want to say this. For me personally, I'm going back into books that I loved either a few years ago or many years ago to bring back those feelings of comfort and joy that I felt then. Because I think when we're scared and when we're isolated, which we are, books are like friends. And for me, it's these old friends I want to get back in touch with. So I'm reading, for example, Elizabeth Strout's book, My Name is Lucy Barton, which this was a big book a few years ago. But what amazed me in reading My Name is Lucy Barton now is it's a book about isolation, and it's a book about a woman, a young woman with two young children who's in the hospital sequestered for 2 months because they don't know what her infection is. And her mother comes to visit her, her estranged mother, whom she hasn't seen in many years. And the entire book is just a series of their conversations throughout this 6 to 8 week period. And I thought it's so fascinating that in so many books and poems that we would read today that were written years ago, we can absolutely see what's happening today in our own lives and in our own world. So this is a big recommendation I have for a book that's about a quiet time, just a conversation between two people that changes both their lives. My name is Lucy Barton. Also, I'm reading a book from college that many of us may have read, Virginia Woolf's A Room of One's Own, which was a book that was really important to me years and years ago. And again, it's being quiet. It's the importance of getting to our own thoughts and ideas and writing them down and having the power to have what we write be important, first to ourselves and then maybe to other people. So again, I would suggest for everybody, keep a journal and write down your thoughts as they occur to you throughout the day, because these days are exceptional. These days hopefully will never happen again, and we will all have our own records of what happened. So it's fine to write about the pandemic. It's fine to write about our fears. And yes, what we see that's different when we walk down a silent, empty street. And you know, for all of us with our cell phones and smartphones and iPhones, there's a function on the phone called Notes. And we can actually dictate into that. So as we're walking, to not feel so alone, talk into the phone and write notes of what you see and what you hear that may be different from all the other days we've lived on this earth. And then you can email that to yourself and you have it written there. And I think that in a few months from now, in 6 months from now, when we reread this, there may be a lot of material there that we can use. Another book that's quite beautiful, that's newer, is called On Earth, We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong, V like Victor, U-O-N-G. So Ocean Vuong is a poet, but this is a memoir about his life with his mother and coming from Vietnam. And again, it takes us into a whole different world, which is, of course, what we want books to do. It's a good book to read during this time because it's so different and so beautifully poetic, and many of us feel this is surreal. We're living in a surreal moment right now. So I guess what I want to say is read poetry. A great thing to do for yourself is give yourself the gift of poetry. And if you can sign up for Garrison Keillor's A Writer's Almanac, just Google A Writer's Almanac, Garrison Keillor. You can sign up for free. And every single day, you will get in your inbox a poem that he reads, that you can read on the paper. And also, there's little highlights about whose birthday it is, what writer's birthday, books he recommends. And you can have a poem a day, and you can learn, and you can then find more about that poet's work from just Googling the poet whose poem he read. There's also the American Society of Poetry, or Poetry Society of America, sorry, and they have Poem a Day, which is also free. So Google that, sign yourself up for that, and that is one brand new contemporary poem every day. And that's all the poetry that that you can need, and then you can learn more about those poets. So I hope everybody stays well, and we're all doing what we've been told to do. I personally have been writing one coronavirus poem after another, and it makes me feel good. It makes me feel good to deal with what I see and what I think and have it come out on paper. So I suggest that for everybody. And stay well. And hi, Patsy, and everyone take care of yourself.
Okay, thanks so much, Kim. Okay, this is Kim Dower joining us here on Joy and Paper as Patsy's out today. Before we leave here today, we're going to play a quick promo for Glenn Erickson's Asteroid. From the pen of local storyteller Glenn Erickson comes a tale of romance and suspense. A truck driver encounters a beautiful woman fleeing in the night. Why is she running? Who is she running from? When Richard stops to help her, he has no idea his life is about to change. His quiet life as a widower is turned upside down when he discovers that Marie, as she calls herself, is really an advanced android. One who not only has escaped those who created her, but who has become self-aware. She wants to be free. She wants to live. Can Richard protect her from the corporation that claims her as their property to do what they want with her? Will Marie be able to find justice before she's captured by a bounty hunter? Android love is a new type of love story. Does an android have the right to feel love? To form an unshakable bond with a human that defies logic? The story of Richard and Marie will touch your heart and get you thinking about the world of the future. Are we prepared? Android Love, written by author and storyteller Glenn Erickson, is available on Amazon KDP.
Hi. Okay. I am back. Ed, am I back? Okay, Ed, I want to thank you so much for doing this. And I want to thank Peter Riva. Remember, his books are set in Africa with probably one of the greatest characters ever written, and you will absolutely love them. And, of course, the Carol J. Perry and her Witch City Mysteries. I just want to, again, everybody, you know what you have to do. We all have to sort of self-isolate and stay away from people as much as we can, which is what I'm doing. And why I named the program Joy on Paper is that it's not just a joy to read, it's a joy to write. So if you are all out there and you're thinking, well, what should I do? Start writing. You know, it's amazing. I could easily write 20 pages a day, and I'm sure all of you, if you start, you can write 5 pages a day. So all you have to do is, you know, take your computer, take a pen and paper. You don't have to do anything special, and write the story that's in your head. Come out with characters, my own preference is if you write happy stories. Now, when this is all over, we don't need a lot of. I know. In about 9 months from now, I'm going to start getting. I don't know how many, ten a week of pandemic books. And I will be going crazy, and I say, oh, please don't send me another pandemic book. I will be looking for the comedies. I will be looking for fun stuff, and I will be looking for interesting stories. So don't just get bogged down in depressive things. Try to think of something wonderful to write, and then, as I said, look for books that will inspire you. And it doesn't matter for example, all of David Baldacci's books are just fantastic books to get lost in. Lee Child's books are wonderful to get lost in. You could start, you know, Lee Child, he's going to be turning the mantle over to his brother, and who, by the way, is going to be a guest on Thursday. Tasha Alexander and Andrew Grant will be my guest on host on Thursday, and they will be talking about the books that they love. But you can definitely get lost in Lee Child's books. It's so much fun. And he's so, you know, Jack Reacher's so busy bashing people's heads into cars and buildings and I don't know wherever he bashes heads in. You forget about everything else. And it's just, they're just fun reads. So start reading today. And of course, you can't go to the library, but you can go onto online and get books. Probably they're not going to get delivered, but you've got Kindle. And remember, if you can't afford to buy books, go to Project Gutenberg. All the classics are there. Every single, you know, Tolstoy or just anybody you want. It's free. Gutenberg is free. You can download them. You can sit at your computers or put them on your tablet, and you can be involved with wonderful, wonderful classic books, and all for nothing. They don't cost you a penny, and you will enjoy that. So, again, everybody be safe, and let's not be sorry. Let's all be safe out there. Keep your distance and do the smart things that they're telling us to do. But I want to play this song, another Vera Lynn song, that sort of says what we all think, okay?
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.